is a story. It's written and read by me, Roger, and it's entitled Wedding Day. The clock in the town's fine Norman church struck 11 as it had done for over 100 years, day in, day out. But this day is like no other, because today is Saturday in late May. It was a bright, sunny and warm day. Nothing unique in that either. But today I'm getting married to my long-time love, Bev. Today sees the end of a year of planning. Small disagreements and family tiffs. But at last it's here. The culmination of years of friendship. Then companionship. Then love. She is the most beautiful girl in town. We first met when my friend Trev from next door introduced us. She was the sister of his girlfriend, so we all went on a date together, just a day by the river. We took a bus to a village close by and walked the last bit and found a pleasant place to picnic. We were armed with as much of our favourite grub that we could carry. It was a great day out. We watched the local anglers, walkers and cyclists enjoying the fine weather and almost missed the last bus back to our hometown. Bev and I became first friends from that day, and it made our relationship even closer. Me and my mate Trev had been friends all of our lives, really, as we lived next door to each other and shared the same birthday, although he was a year older than me. Our houses were in part of a town close by our park, where we would play after school and in the holidays. If one of us had been found guilty of a serious crime, like, well, anything our parents disapproved of, then they would confine us to the back garden. Whoever was confined, the other would volunteer to stay too, as we had swore an oath on the Lone Ranger's life to do so. It was an oath that we had made at junior school and become a watchword of loyalty between us. During our growing up, our games were seasonal, football, then cricket season, and of course in the autumn, conker season, and as the nights drew in, we would still play out in the dark until bedtime. November was such an exciting month with bonfire night early on. We were able to buy fireworks well before the 5th, so we could build up a stock for the night itself. However, all we were interested in was buying boxes of bangers to play with and make as much noise as we could beforehand. Bonfire night was for the posh stuff, like rockets and pretty fizzes and sparklers for the little ones. We could see our neighbours' bonfires and fireworks going off up and down the street, and what with ours and Trev's lot next door, it was always a great night out. Once the night was over, the last fireworks gone, the last baked spud eaten and the Goya pile of ash in the rest of the fire, we would roll into bed stinking of bonfire smoke and sooty from fireworks and ash smuts. Washing faces was for another day. The thought of Christmas soon filled our thoughts, and although it seemed a long way off, the excitement of imagined presents made the week of dreaded school ahead easier for me and Trev to endure. The mood became heightened when December arrived, and school was all decked up with classmate fancies and bright trimmings. It was all such a very cheerful, exciting time. Me and Trev were inseparable. He looked after me, as good as, or if not better than, a brother. As I said, Trev introduced me to Bev. We all went to school together, and though Bev went to a different one, we always started each day together and managed to meet again on the way home. We all had different jobs, but again all managed to get together most days to exchange details of the day's events and gossip about the folks at work. One year, Bev, me and Trev and his girlfriend, which one I don't know because he had several on the go at any one time, went on holiday to Butlins in Minehead for 2 weeks for our main holiday from work. It was a boiling fortnight. We lazed about most of the time during the day. It was too hot to join in the organised fun and almost too hot for dancing in the evening, but having a smooch made it worthwhile. So eventually I asked Bev to marry me about a year ago. She said yes about bloody time. I didn't think she would say otherwise, but it was still nervous in case that she did say no and didn't want to. The only person I could possibly ask to be my best man was my mate Trev. It was fitting that I should do so, and he agreed with the usual shrug of his shoulders and a, well, I suppose so. Anyway, I've sat here outside the church, daydreaming for the best part of an hour now, feeling the early summer sun on my face. Hearing the church bells and the sounds of the town clattering about its business in the light sunny air. Trev, my best man, had gone into the church to check that all our arrangements were okay, and that the ushers knew what they were supposed to do and weren't prattin' about generally. He came back to me, and we went inside to take our places as the first guests started to arrive. Some went straight in, others stayed outside for a while, grabbing the chance of a fag before the ceremony began. The church was cool inside, with an atmosphere of calm. There was also an air of excitement, too. Flowers had been arranged up the length of the aisle, and the smell of lilac and other late spring blooms filled the place. We sat at the front, and the vicar came along and spoke words of encouragement to me. I think he thought that I might chicken out, actually. Trev made the obligatory jokes like, "It's not too late, you know," and "My God, I've lost the rings," to which I replied with a good hard punch to his arm. "He should have a nice bruise there in a few days to remember me by," I thought. The organ was playing "Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring" softly, and some bloke rose behind started singing the words till his wife told him to belt up. There was a titter of approval from their immediate companions. Then the chatter suddenly died down, and the organist hit the opening chords of "Here Comes the Bride," and I knew that my bride-to-be had arrived and would be standing silhouetted in the doorway holding her dad's arm. Trev told me to turn and face down the aisle so she could see me waiting. The most beautiful girl in town had arrived, soon to be my wife. At least, I said that she was the most beautiful. She may not have been, because in fact, I'd never seen her. In fact, I hadn't seen anything since my accident with fireworks when I was a kid. Trev and me had been messing about as usual, doing everything we shouldn't, when the accident happened. We'd been trying to make a super banger, stuffing a few into a tin to see how high it would go, if at all. We lit the fuses and cleared off. The super banger worked very well, too well in fact. Not only did it go, it went up, then across, and right at us while we were yelling in delight at our success. Trev ducked, but I didn't, and the missile hit me in the face and covered me with burning firework powder. I lost my sight, and since then Trev had been by my side. There was no blame, just the sad result of two idiots larking about, not realising the possible outcome of their fun. No blame whatsoever, except from Trev, who has blamed himself ever since for ducking. I think he invoked our old Lone Ranger oath, and couldn't just leave me to get on with things without him. Mind you, I hope he doesn't think he's coming on our honeymoon now.